So we've started this look at the life of Joseph, and we come to this section in Genesis. We're actually going to be looking at chapter 37, verses 12 through 36. And something that I want you to know, that as a young believer, you have the opportunity to be faithful to God, and you have the opportunity to be faithful to God's authority. And you're going to discover, even family members sometimes will at times become jealous of that and want to, you know, stifle what you're doing. However, you're going to discover that God is going to protect you. He's going to use you. He's going to bless you as you desire to walk with him. This man named Alan Ross, he's a doctor. He said, this section taught those who faithfully serve their master often must endure grievous persecution, but cannot be prevented from fulfilling their God-given destiny. And so there's some realities that we'll see as we work through this section of Scripture. Look at this first one. The reality is this: even when facing envy and hatred, the faithful servant is faithful to do his work. Look at verse 12 of chapter 37. Now his brothers, this is Joseph, went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." And he said to him, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, if it is well with your brothers, see if it's well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring me word." So he went, he sent him from the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a man found him wandering in the fields, and the man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I'm seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." And the man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. So Israel, or Jacob, gave Joseph, his son, an assignment. "I want you to go to Shechem, and I want you to check up on your brothers and the flocks and bring back to me a report." Now, it's not exactly stated why Israel sent Joseph, but the Hebrew word welfare there, which shows up twice in verse 14, is the word shalom, and that indicates Israel wants to know if the brothers and the flocks are healthy and they're safe and they're sound, peaceful, and whole. And so Joseph immediately went from the Valley of Hebron to Shechem, a journey to the north of approximately 50 miles. And Joseph immediately responds, and when he got to Shechem, he's informed that his brothers are in Dothan, which is another 20 miles. And it's possible that that man was part of something that probably he shouldn't be a part of. And Josephus, who's this famous Jewish historian, claims that the plot to kill Joseph began as soon as the dreams were revealed. He also claims that his brothers purposely had moved to Shechem and intentionally did not inform Jacob of their status. So Joseph knew he wasn't loved or appreciated by his brothers, yet he had a job to do, and he did it. And he's not the kind of person who made excuses for not completing the assignment. So that's something that's good to remember as a young person, that even though when things are tough, you have to take a stand, you have to do the right thing, and finish your assignments. I think that's just a good word for us, even when it's hard. Then there's a second reality here. It's even when being faithful and obedient, the faithful servant may experience some family difficulties. I want you to look at verse 18 with me. He says, "They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, 'Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams.' But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, 'Let us not take his life.' And Reuben said to them, 'Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father.' So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat. And looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to these Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. Then Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. These words plotted against him are words that mean they were trying to come up with some fraudulent means to kill Joseph. And what we actually have here is vile democracy in which this majority votes for a plan of homicide. And God's word had so pierced their hearts and they wanted him dead. From a human standpoint, there is nothing to stop these brothers from killing Joseph. Notice who surfaced to protect Joseph. It's Reuben. And Reuben's motive was to take Joseph back to his father, which would probably put him back in good graces after he had done something bad with one of his father's women. And so we see here God being in control and how amazing that is. Why would God permit Reuben to commit this act? Well, God didn't prevent it or destroy it, because this act would be something God could use down the road to spare Joseph so he could become a great leader. And God is sovereign no matter how bizarre the situation. And the brothers took Reuben's suggestion and decided that they don't want to slay him, but they're going to sell him. And both the Ishmaelites and the Midianites had the same father, Abraham. And all the players involved in this story are related to Abraham. So if you're faithful to God, you may discover that there's going to be some, even in your family, that would want to eliminate you. And people who love God's word and love God will often discover friction, even in family situations. But you've got to rest in the fact that behind this hostility is God's sovereign hand that's caring for you, molding you, and directing you. And then look at this third reality. When the faithful and obedient servant is gone, one right with God will mourn and not be comforted. Look at verse 29 as we continue. So when Reuben returned to the pit and saw that Joseph was not in the pit, he tore his clothes and returned to his brothers and said, "The boy is gone, and where shall I go?" Then they took Joseph's robe and slaughtered a goat and dipped the robe in blood. And they sent the robe of many colors and brought it to their father and said, "This we have found. Please identify whether it's your son's robe or not." And he identified it and said, "It is my son's robe. A fierce animal has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, "No, I shall go down to Sheol to my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. So we see this retributive irony, for we may recall that Jacob fooled his own father, Isaac, by using a goat. Now he is tricked by his sons by using a goat. And that's the sovereign plan of God. What goes around comes around. And carefully, the text says they dipped the tunic in the blood. There's no indication that they tore the cloak. And there's a Dr. S. Lewis Johnson that makes this observation. If Jacob had been able to control his grief, he might have wondered why the cloak was not torn, but only stained by the blood. And so when you find yourself surrounded by emotional family situations, we need to think factually. And when one of his faithful is gone, there's going to be a void which cannot be filled. And lastly, the fourth reality is this. When negative things are happening to a faithful servant, God is leading that servant to where God sovereignly wants them to be. God is in control of our situations. Look at verse 36. Meanwhile, the Midianites had sold him to Egypt, to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. And so when you look at this final verse, it's short, but it's critical. When he gets to Egypt, he's sold to Potiphar, who is a very high-ranking official. There's no more coincidence here, for God is at work using these horrible events to bring Joseph to where he wants him to be. And if you, in your life, as a young person, purpose to be faithful to God, you're going to face adversity sometimes from those in your own family. And it may come from your immediate family. It may come from a spouse, a parent, a child, a brother, a sister. It may come from your own church family. And envy and jealousy often cause people in the church to do and say terrible things against one who is faithful. But the one who is faithful may be certain of this. Those who are lashing out will be paid back by God. And even though the experience at the present time may be painful and lonely, God is still directing and protecting. Stay faithful to God, and in the end, you'll be able to be highly honored by Him.